My lesson this morning is going to be on unintended consequences. You know, so oftentimes we come up with a good idea. And we really think that this is going to be an idea that will really be helpful. Maybe it's for our family, maybe it's for the church. And we just think this is a great idea. But we have to think through, because we've all had great ideas that didn't turn out too well. And Israel only wanted to be like the rest of the nations. They thought it was a good idea to get a king. But there was a very terrible unintended consequence that I want to talk about for a few moments this morning. He said, look, you are old. This is the children of Israel coming to Samuel. Look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Now for them, that was a good idea. They just wanted to be like everyone else. But here's what God saw. Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me. The unintended consequence of wanting a king like the rest of the nations was that they rejected God as their king. He said, they have rejected me that I should not reign over them. But there was a more serious consequence than that. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you. So not only does God say they have rejected me as their king, but he also goes on to state that this is simply an extension of the rebellion that has led them to worship other gods. So the unintended consequence of wanting to be like the rest of the nations was they rejected God and did one more activity that, as far as God was concerned, was just like bowing down to idols. Now, we need to take careful thought for that today, because there are a lot of good ideas that are being bantered around today in various churches about being like the rest of the people in our culture. And so we have to stop, though, and consider what are the unintended consequences of changing something that God has asked us to do. God didn't want them to have a king because he was their king. He wanted them to have judges because he would work through the judges. But as far as the people were concerned, that was not powerful enough. Now, when we think about that, we see the same thing with the Pharisees. The Pharisees and the Jews only wanted the people to be as holy as possible. So they came up with this interesting idea of, let's wash our hands and let's wash our pots and let's take care of these things. And so the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. There are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. I don't know about you, but I wash my hands when I come home from services. I don't do it for God, but it's a good idea, because we all know that by washing our hands, we can avoid becoming sick. But there was a terrible unintended consequence to what the Pharisees had done. And it was very comparable to what happened to Nadab and Abihu. There was a serious unintended consequence to them offering a fire that God hadn't asked them. He struck them both dead. Because there is a sense of awe and reverence. And that's really what this lesson is all about. Do we hold God in enough awe and reverence and respect that we would not dare to add our own thoughts to his eternal plan? The difference between me washing my hands when I go home from services and encouraging you to do so, and incorporating that into the doctrine of the church and telling you, if you don't wash your hands before you eat after you've come to services, that's a sin. Well, there's an unintended consequence to elevating something to that level. And that's what Jesus did. He told him, here's the unintended consequence. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. wait a minute, why are we hypocrites? We're just asking the people. No, you're elevating yourself to the position of God. You're elevating yourself, just like the children of Israel did. They rejected God when they asked for a king. And now Jesus is telling them, when you add a commandment that God didn't add to the scriptures, you become a hypocrite, because the unintended consequence is you are elevating yourself. Now, I don't intend to do that. I don't intend to elevate myself to Jesus' level when I add a command to the scriptures. But Jesus said, all authority is given on heaven and earth is given to me. And you know something? I wouldn't dare to add a single thought to what Jesus commanded, because there's a hypocrisy there. I'm claiming that Jesus is Lord, and yet I'm not treating him as Lord. And so well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Any doctrine in the church that is not found in the scriptures has this terrible unintended consequence. Our worship becomes vain. God will not accept it anymore. We are not properly honoring him. Now it's interesting, because they hadn't done anything with their worship. This had nothing to do with their worship. This had to do with washing their hands when they came home, and washing their couches and washing their vessels. But Jesus said, because you have added that command to the law of Moses, your worship is in vain. And any time we add a doctrine that is a command of men, because what does he say in verse 8? You have to lay aside the command of God. Well, what command of God are we laying aside? The one that says, you shall not add to my word and you shall not diminish from my word? There's a respect, a reverence, and an awe in the Lord's church that is tangible and palpable and does not allow us to ever go beyond what is written. Because this is the unintended consequence. The children of Israel were not trying to worship idols when they said, give us a king. But that was the unintended consequence of asking for a king. They were manifesting the same attitude as they had when they were bowing down to those idols. A lack of reverence, a lack of respect, and a lack of awe with God. Moses told Aaron, after the two boys were lying there dead, he said, this is what the Lord meant when he said, by all the people, you will treat me as holy. I'm not like anyone else. You should have an awe and a respect for me when we say that we would dare not try to take one step alone. I think Proverbs 3 may capture this pretty well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. So, verse 8, laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. You set aside the command that says, don't add to my word, and then you blazonly and rebelliously add a command. And you hold that tradition. The washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. Now, you and I need to take careful thought to this, because in the world today, we are seeing changes, first in the denominations, but coming into the Lord's church, that are amazing to me. I mean, I never would have thought that it could have come to the point where people could just blazonly set aside what Jesus said about marriage and divorce, or blazonly set aside what Paul said and God said about homosexuality, or what Paul said about women preaching and women taking positions of authority in the church. Or we could just go on and on and on. They've changed the worship, the organization, they've changed the work of the church, they have changed the purpose and mission of our responsibilities and obligations when we come together. There's an unintended consequence to that. It seems good. Everybody's doing it. But isn't that what the children of Israel said? We want a king like the rest of the nations. Well, God didn't give a king like the rest of the nations, because they had a better king than the rest of the nations. They had God. And God didn't tell them to wash these pitchers and wash their hands because it had nothing to do. As Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 15, whatever goes into the mouth goes back out into this world. It doesn't have any impact whatsoever on your spiritual life. So is it any different today? All over Denville Metro, people are gathering together to worship God and honor Jesus, but not in the same way. What you saw here, you would not see in most other churches in Denver today. Most churches do not have the Lord's Supper on a weekly basis. Most churches do not sing without instrumental accompaniment. Most churches do not have a sermon where only the scripture is preached. And many have a coffee bar and food and all sorts of things. But there's unintended consequences to that. The variety of differences has led to the name denominations. Can't remember. I think there's over 2,000 or 3,000 denominations in the world today. And you know what they're all doing? They've got one thing in common. They call Jesus Lord. They honor him with words of highest praise, just like the children of Israel did. But then they fall into the same unintended consequence. I'm going to skip this slide because I just want to get to this verse. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now that's what the children of Israel missed. That's what the Pharisees missed. And that's what's being missed today. When there's a clash of wills, my will is that we have the Lord's Supper once a year. But the Lord's will is that upon the first day of each week, we come together to break bread. Now, my will and the Lord's will are clashing here. And unfortunately, if I change what God has revealed, the unintended consequence is that I'm no longer doing the will of my Father in heaven. And Jesus said, I will no longer be allowed to enter heaven. Because the only people who are going to enter heaven are those who, unlike Nadab and Abihu, do not dare to offer anything strange that he didn't command. And so the responsibility and obligation that you and I have is to respect the scriptures as gold and our own thinking as dirt. And if we can reach that level where if it comes from God and it comes from the scriptures, I hold it in the highest respect and I will submit to it and I will die before I violate it. But I will not be interested, because look at what Jesus goes on to say. Verse 22 is a frightening thing because he uses the word many. It doesn't say there's only a few people on the earth that are going to be doing this. He says many are going to be. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. It doesn't say we had a relationship, but due to your changes, I have forgotten you. He says, I never knew you. Not one instant were you ever my servant. Now, who could these people be? Well, these are the people with the unintended consequence of thinking that you can elevate your own thoughts and your own ideas and your own traditions to Scripture. And whenever anyone does that, whether it's the Catholic Church or whether it's the Mormons or whether it is the Jehovah's Witnesses or whether it is the Pentecostals, and we could just keep listing denominations because they're all doing it. They're all writing a book with their ideas in it. They call a creed book, or the Book of Mormon, or the Catholic dogma, which has come down through the Pope and through the traditions of men. And Jesus has said, the unintended consequence of calling me Lord, but not doing my Father's will exclusively, as I will tell them, I never knew you. We never had a relationship. Not one time did you ever do the will of the Father. Now, this is a prophecy of events that would come on the judgment day. It's going on right now. There are literally millions of tens of millions of people in the Pentecostal churches all over the land who are absolutely convinced God is with them. because of the miracles they're performing, and yet they don't practice baptism for the remission of sins. They bring in instrumental music, and they have added many different dogmas and teachings to the scriptures, and yet they see themselves as exempt from this passage of scripture. But brethren, we have to be wise enough to be able to see this truth, because otherwise we're susceptible as well. It is not my intention in this lesson to make us feel good by pointing out the errors of other people. I don't think that's appropriate. I don't think that's right. But it is my responsibility to point out the fallacies in the scriptures. I don't think I'm better than those Jews in the time of Samuel. And I'm not bringing it up to deprecate them. These things were written for our warning, for our admonition. And so this passage is the same. If he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? I've had conversations with these people. You have too. We try to talk to them. We try to explain to them. You can't have changes in the scripture. And still, God would not allow you to perform a miracle. There's only one spirit and there's only one gospel. So whatever is animating you, it is not the Holy Spirit. It must be something else, and they won't listen. So you read this verse to them, and they say, well, that must be talking about somebody else. It's not talking about us, because we're really performing this thing. And you just shake your head, because it's so sad that people will not heed what the scriptures reveal. The good confession is not enough. Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Many. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. What about you and I? Are we in here? I like to read this verse and it applies to everyone else. I think everybody probably reads this verse that way. That's talking about them. Not talking about us. Well, it is talking about us if we have allowed the church to bring in a doctrine that is not in the scriptures. It's something we made up. Whether it's the work or the organization of the church, or whether it's the worship, or whether it is a moral teaching or a doctrinal teaching, doesn't make any difference. We fall into this category, unintendedly, yes, but we fall into this category if anything we're doing is not the Father's will. And so, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And the same thing is true. You think when you set aside a scripture that it's a minor thing and God will overlook it. And yet, when we see this next verse, which is 2 John 9, whoever goes onward and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. So calling Jesus Lord doesn't prove anything. Prophecy, mighty works, and casting out demons doesn't prove anything. These are the very people Jesus says, I don't know. I've never known you. We've got to be doing the Father's will. Now, the Father's will is found in the New Testament scriptures. My will is found in my head and in any writings or teachings that I have that are not in the scriptures. Now, that's a pretty simple standard. When I judge a congregation, it's going to be based on their conduct, their traditions, their practices, and whether they're in the scriptures or not. And if they're not in the scriptures, that's lawlessness. Do we know what the definition of lawlessness is? It means doing something you don't have law to justify. Whenever you take one step beyond what the law allows, you're now lawless. You have no law to back up what you're doing, so you are in the midst of lawlessness. And brethren, this is a trap that has captured so many people. It's what Adam and Eve did. The very moment that she reached for that fruit, she was lawless, because the law didn't allow that. There was no law to allow what she was about to do, so she was practicing lawlessness. And unfortunately, if we don't have a law for everything we do. You know, Peter said that. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, if anyone speaks, can you finish it? Speak as the oracles of God. If the oracles of God do not finish that sentence for you, it's lawless. And many denominations, and unfortunately many churches of Christ today, are lawless because that's the unintended consequence of changing something in the Scriptures. And this is something we all need to give careful thought to, because it's affecting and impacting many of our friends and loved ones all over the country today as people begin to veer away. Now, here's the Father's will. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But if you take one step outside of his word, the unintended consequence, you don't know the truth, and you are not my disciples. I don't know you. Now, some of us are going to hear, I knew you, but you fell away. That's what he told the church in Ephesus. He told the church in Ephesus, I'm just about to remove your candlestick because what you're doing, you've left your first love. You're no longer doing what I'm asking you to do for the reasons that I've asked you to do them. You know, motive is just as important to our Lord as action. You know, we can be here singing, but if we're not making melody in our hearts, that's not worship. That's not true worship to God. When we sing the songs, we have to make melody. When we take the Lord's Supper, we have to remember Jesus. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. And Paul said, if you don't take it in a worthy manner, you're guilty of the body and the blood. And for this cause, he tells the Corinthians, many of you are weak and sickly, and some of you are spiritually dead. Because you're not doing, the unintended consequences are coming upon you. Because you didn't do it for the right reason. I don't know how much respect we really have for Jesus, but Jesus does. And Jesus says, I can tell how much respect you have for me by how many commands you follow. And in Luke 6:46, what did he say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord? And then set aside something I say. What sense does that make? If I'm really your Lord, that means you'll submit to me in everything. And so if you abide in my word, if we abide in his word regarding baptism, regarding salvation, regarding worship, regarding organization of the church with elders and deacons and the woman's role and everything Paul wrote, what did Paul say? After he said, I do not permit a woman to teach or let your women keep silence in the church, he says this in verse 37, if you think you're a prophet or you think you're spiritually minded, you better acknowledge the things I'm writing to you are commands of God. Those are commands of God. We can't set them aside. You say, well, I'm going to set them aside. And you're the problem because you're preaching against it. Well, that's one way to look at it. But the unintended consequence is if we don't abide in his word, we are not his disciples indeed. Only if you abide in my word are you my disciples indeed. And only if you abide in my word will you know the truth. And only if you abide in my word can the truth make you free. If you go beyond what is written, the unintended consequence is severe. So when we do what the Lord has asked us to do. And brethren, what we're after here, in all these scriptures, we're after an awe and a reverence. You know, we call this the Holy Bible, which literally means the Holy Book. You really think it is? Do you treat it like a Holy Book? And I don't mean do you treat it by like a Holy Book means you don't throw it around. I mean, when you read the words of this book, are you in awe? Are you in reverence? Are you trying to find the exact limitations and parameters of every verse? God's watching our hearts. You know, we're all in the process of learning the truth. And none of us are ever going to fully reach it before we die. But what God is looking for is this reverence, this respect, this holding back, this realization that if we don't do things exactly the way God has asked them to do, and we're not going to allow what the rest of the nations are doing, and or in this case, what the rest of the churches are doing, to have any influence over us. It's fascinating how apostasies work. You know, in the 1800s, there was a Christian church that broke away from the Church of Christ. You know why it broke away? Because they wanted instrumental music and they wanted societies. Now, we've never even heard of societies, but in the time that that apostasy occurred, societies is what all the denominations were doing, and they wanted to be like the rest of the churches. And the same thing happened in the 1950s with the Herald of Truth. They wanted a radio program so they could be like the rest of the nations, and there was nothing wrong with that, except it couldn't be done without changing, just a little bit, changing the organization of the church and allowing an eldership to oversee all of the contributions of all of the churches that were being sent in. There's no scripture for that. There was no place in the scriptures, nowhere in the book of Acts, nowhere anywhere do we ever see a church doing that. But that's the problem when you want to be like the rest of the nations. And so 2 John 9, I memorized this verse years ago. I quote it to other people. I quote it to myself. Whoever or everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Now, that's the unintended consequence. I never intended for that to happen. I never intended for the church where I am worshiping God to have God vacate the premises and say, I'm not going to be here anymore. But that's the unintended consequence of adding any of my own ideas. You say, well, that sounds pretty harsh and pretty strong. Well, listen to Jesus talking to the Pharisees. That sounded pretty harsh and strong too. You hypocrites! Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you saying, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But God, we're trying to get closer and closer. That's why we're making these changes. Because in our emotions and in our hearts, we believe this will be beneficial. And God says, if it had been beneficial, I would have put it in there myself. It's kind of like Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. He said, let no one rob you with this voluntary humility. He says, they are handle not, taste not, touch not, all of which seem to have wisdom in the flesh, but are not of any value. If they'd been of any value, God would have put them in the scriptures. The fact that man had to devise something that was not in the scriptures is proof positive and won't do any good. And it won't bring about the results that we think it will bring about. So only those who abide in the teaching have both the Father and the Son, and John's pretty strong here. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. And of course, I've always been acutely aware that when I preach a sermon in the Lord's church, if I say something that's not right, one of you is going to come talk to me. And rightfully so. Because that's what this verse is saying. We don't have the right, the unintended consequence of any human idea, no matter how good it might be in our minds. You know, it shows our lack of love and respect and reverence and trust in God when we think that we can come up with something better than he did. If this would have been helpful, he would have put it in the scriptures 2,000 years ago, and then men would have been using it ever since. The sad reality is, when I lean on my own understanding and I don't trust in the Lord with all my heart, the unintended consequence is I've just dishonored God. And I don't think there's any exceptions here. Only those who abide within the teachings of Christ are going to have both the Father and the Son. That's what we learned from Nadab and Abihu. That's what we learned from the children of Israel when they asked for that king. And that's what we learned from the Pharisees. And that's what we learned from Jesus. It's consistent across the board. And this is the paradox of calling Jesus Lord, even when he doesn't know them. And this is why, right here, you've gone on and you're no longer abiding in the teachings of Christ. If you abide in my word, you're my disciple indeed. What if I don't? I don't have God. But that wasn't my intention. It wasn't my intention to not have God. It doesn't matter. That's the consequence of what is going to happen. That's what John is saying here. And so we need to be very circumspect. We need to be very cautious. We need to be afraid. We must not, what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 4:6? We need to learn not to go beyond the things that are written, that we wouldn't be puffed up as though we've come up with something great that no one else has thought of. So the real problem is right here, and I'm not going to take much more time on this because I've gone off in some other directions and we're running out of time. But Isaiah called them hypocrites. Now, those are fighting words. I never call anybody a hypocrite. Because I can't see their heart. I don't know if they're pretending or whether they're sincere. It doesn't really matter. But Jesus says, whenever you act like this, that's what you are. Whether you like it or not, when you honor God with your lips, but you've created these doctrines from the commandments of men, God says, your heart's far from me because you never would have done that if you were really my servant. You never, ever would have done that. They never would have asked for a king if they had really respected God and wanted God to be their king. And they never would have added those washings and those additional traditions if they really believed that the law of Moses was absolute and they couldn't add anything to it or take from it. And the same thing is true today, brethren. If people trust in the gospel plan of salvation and they trust in the Lord who sent the Holy Spirit to inspire the apostles to write these scriptures, somehow they think we've grown out of them. Somehow they think that the information in the scriptures is archaic now. How could that be? God knows man. God knew what the world was going to be like today. He knows the end from the beginning. If there was something in the scriptures he thought needed to be in there, he would have put it in there. What are we telling God when we say we need to make this change so we can be like the other churches, so that we can continue to grow? I think the Lord would say, I'd rather you didn't grow. Because if you grow by becoming a hypocrite, and by the unintended consequence of becoming like an idolater and turning your heart away from me, that's not growth. People think it's growth, but that's not growth. So the distinguishing mark, if what we practice or what we're called, you know, I've often asked people who go to different churches, what's the name of your church? Is it in the Bible? And do you realize that 90% of the churches in existence today, or maybe 99%, their name's not even in the Bible? And yet, they don't see that that's a tradition of men that even came up with that name? Laying aside the commandment of God. That's where the problem is, and that's where it lies. So, the genuine disciple and the counterfeit disciple, on the outside you can't see any different. It's the heart. That's where the problem is. It's in the heart. You don't respect God. The counterfeit disciple doesn't really respect God. You say, how do you know he doesn't respect God? Because here's where God drew the line, and he goes beyond it. And whoever goes beyond does not have God. So the genuine disciple has an awe, a reverence, and a respect to do the will of the Father, to abide in the words of Jesus, to not go onward, to not lay aside the commands of God, and does not teach the doctrines of men. Now, I suspect that most of you here today would say amen. I hope everyone here says amen. I don't believe I taught anything wrong. If you think I taught something wrong in the lesson, please come talk to me. Because if I've made a wrong application, I need to change. I want to be right with God. But I don't think I did. I think that the applications are pretty clear. That if you have anything that you're practicing in your church that is not in the scriptures, you don't have God. Because the unintended consequence of adding something that is not in the scriptures is you don't have God. And so as we select our song of encouragement this morning and we contemplate our own relationship with God, how much respect do we have for the scriptures? How much awe and reverence do we really have for the commands of God, for the teachings of God, for the applications of what God has revealed to us? It can be done if we love the truth and if we are not going to lean on our own understanding. As we sing the song of encouragement this morning, if there's anyone in the audience who needs to make their life right with God in any way, we would invite you to come and do that while we together stand and sing.